You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Chris Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you are listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right. Welcome to All Action Sports Radio. My name is Wes. I'm your host this week at All Action Sports Radio. We got an action-packed show. You know, there is a pun in there. Action-packed. This is a break right now during the Moto Outdoors, and during this break time, we'll be talking to Jason Weingart from RacerX Online. James Stewart had an awesome time at Hangtown, and we have Tennessee Nationals coming up, and we also have Red Bud. So we'll get into it with Jason Weingart during this break about what's what in Moto. And we're back with parkour. Yeah, I mean, listen, we've been doing the show for quite some time, and they're calling parkour and free running an action sport, and I am now a believer. We had Corey DeMeyers on a few weeks ago, and I got to tell you, the show just went off the Richter, email, phone calls, the whole nine yards. Corey DeMeyers, parkour, action sports, just blew up. We're bringing on his partner in crime on their From Here to There documentary, Jesse LaFleur. He's been on American Ninja, and he's been just all over the place as far as parkour is concerned. He's one of the biggest names in the sport, and he's going to be on All Action Sports coming up a little bit later. And we have the silver medalist and BMX park, Drew Bezenson. He's going to be on. He's a Canadian. And what a wild man. He has a new show that's being done by Red Bull. It's a web series called Ratitudes. And Drew Bezenson, that's Bezanson, silver medalist and BMX park. He's going to be on All Action Sports a little bit later. You want to be into that. And we have Brandon Simonuk. Now, this dude is amazing. I mean, he's been amazing since he was a kid on mountain biking and free riding. And he's just, I mean, his movie, Rad Company, is awesome. Red Bull sent it to me. I watched it probably like 4-5 times. Brandon Simonuk, he is just going to kill it here today on All Action Sports Radio. And that's coming up later as well in our later segment. And our song of the week is Bad Sons, We Move Like the Ocean. They have a debut album, Language and Perspective, available June 24th. And that's coming out. And you'll want to check that out in our song of the week. And like I said, we'll begin to Jason Weingart from RacerX Online in just a minute. But before we get to that, I just want to mention that I just saw this Big Wave Hellman coming this fall. It's a new, TV show, adventure series that's going to be done by ESPN and ABC, and it's called Big Wave Hellman. And they're going to have Greg Long and Shane Dorian and a few other guys. We're definitely going to bring you some news from that here on All Action Sports Radio. And that's it. Now I'm going to jump into Mr. Jason Weingart from RacerX Online now. All right, this is All Action Sports Radio, and we're getting into our Moto segment with Jason Weingart. He's the RacerX Online editor, who also hosts a TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC Series, the largest and one of the most prestigious off-road racing series in the U.S. Jason, welcome to this off week in Moto.
Yeah, a rare off week. I think there's only 2 weekends off of these guys in 12 rounds, so rest for the weary, I'd say.
Well, they got to rest up for Tennessee National and the Red Bull Nationals. Those are 2 very, very big races. And I know a lot of races, especially Jake Weimer, needs that time to recover.
Oh, have you seen the pictures on Instagram?
Yes. It was
torn up.
I mean, you know, when a bike lands on you, I don't know how he walked away from that.
Yeah, I heard that he had to kind of, like, in the whole drive to the airport today, which is probably an hour and a half almost from the track to the door of the airport. Like, he basically had to kneel down. He couldn't really even sit.
Oof.
So, and then I don't even know about the flight. He had to be miserable there, but I wouldn't be surprised this weekend off. Like we said, rest for the weary. If there isn't structural damage, I wouldn't rule out him racing next weekend.
I just felt like he had some contusions, pulled muscles that he didn't even know about, and he woke up the next day just in horrific pain.
Absolutely. Yeah, he got landed on basically by Malcolm Stewart. Anytime you get landed on by a rider in a motorcycle, it's not going to be pretty.
Hey, well, Malcolm's a big boy, too.
Yeah, just adding to it. Yep.
You know, speaking of Malcolm Stewart, let's get to his brother. Does James Stewart lose any momentum with this break? I mean, he looks so good, so fast, and so unbeatable. Does a break like this just cause you to lose any momentum?
No, I don't think so. In this game, it's all about confidence, A, and B, you know, finding the right combination as far as bike setup. So he's not going to be any less confident just because they had an extra few days off. And he was really struggling with the bike setup, the suspension setup, at the first couple races. It's pretty obvious now he's got that figured out and they're not going to change that. So I'd say there's no difference between a weekend off and just going racing right now.
You know, which is really interesting, he's talking about how he said he had plenty left in the tank and that it was the wins were easy. Is that what he was talking about, or was he talking about his conditioning?
No, I think you could see speed-wise that the guys would close in on him, and it looked like they were going to make a race of it, and then he would just pull away a little bit. Like, he was going as fast as he needed to, but if he had to go faster, he could have gone faster than that. I think it's a big change from old-school James Stewart, who was winner crash. You know, he'd go maximum all out all the time. Sometimes it would bite him. Now he was just, honestly, if you watched him when he's out alone by himself out front, it didn't even look like he was trying hard. But obviously, he was faster than everyone else, so he was. He just was that smooth and in control.
So at this point in the game, you got to say his bike setup is really is a big difference maker.
They had some problems, the team, at throughout Supercross here and there with some parts, I think, actually malfunctioning. And he didn't finish the first or the last race of the year. And then I think they spent their whole time trying to fix those problems first. You know, before you even get it to be perfect, you had to make it reliable. I think they were working on all that stuff, and only now do they have it all ironed out.
All right. Let's get to Ken Roczen. You know, I've been a fan of his. You know, we've talked about it on the show many times. I picked him right out the gate. But here's the part I don't like with Ken Roczen, we've talked about this before about with other riders. He goes, his quote is, "I'm still happy how everything is. It's about keeping it consistent right now for me. Not too high, not too low." I'm thinking, and tell me if I'm wrong, he knows he's got 183 points. And he's far and away ahead of everybody else. And he's kind of like in a soccer game where he's got two goals and he's just back playing defense.
No, not at all. 22 points is almost nothing. I mean, he lost. If one more weekend is like it would have went a high point, I think he lost 8 points. You know, you lose 8, 10 points here again, that literally slices that points lead in half. It's way too early to say I can just post because I have a points lead. I think the goal is on a day where you don't beat Stewart, you have two choices. You didn't beat him. So you can go home and put your fist through a wall and get super mad and stressed out and angry and start worrying about it and getting nervous. Or you can take it in stride and say, whatever, man, I got second. I'm still the points leader. It's okay. So I think it's a mental thing. I don't think it has anything to do with the math.
So don't take anything out of his, quote, "I'll take a second."
I believe he's saying that because he doesn't, like I said, doesn't want to go home putting his fist through a wall. He wants to go home saying, it's all right. But that's nothing to do with the points. That's just these guys want to keep their chins up. You know, we mentioned confidence already. You hand it over if you go out there and say, I got totally smoked and I sucked today. But they don't want to say that.
I guess I can see that. And you're right. Yeah. 22 points is not big. I just didn't like, you know, I'm used to guys saying, you know, they don't want second. They want first. You know, I'm coming back stronger next week. You know, not being content with second and just making it a feel-good story. That's me, you know, the athletes I know
right.
that are out there trying
well,
to...
Well, we in the media do like that. There's a lot more drama in that. But
yes.
I think the riders know, you know, you've got to keep it on an even keel. You've got to stay healthy and confident and not get too stressed out, but not too pumped up, not taking anything for granted. You've got to somehow take the whole season, everything that comes at you, in stride. So I think they really work hard at that. Don't party too much when you win. Don't sulk too much when you lose.
I like that. I only have a few seconds left, but I just want to give a shout out to Chad Reed. I think his top 10 finishes are pretty awesome for himself. If you agree,
what I hear, he's going to really put the hammer down with this off week, make up for lost time. You know, he's injured for a while, so now he's healthy. Now he can test the bike. I think he's going to be a totally different guy once we're back at Muddy Creek.
Hey, I only got about 20 seconds. You tweeted out that there's a rider that they should be looking at for Justin Barcia. Your tweet was, just thought of something, JGR's deal with Nicoletti ends at round 6. They said all along he's free to go elsewhere. Honda, he's your guy. So you think Nicoletti's a guy for Honda over now that Justin Barcia's out?
Yeah, I think so, because he can put that bike in the top 10 easy, and if you're a factory team, you'd be pumped on it.
All right, cool. We heard it from Jason Wygant himself, and he is the man when it comes to moto. And let me give you a plug before it's too late and I get in trouble. He is the online editor for RaceFX Online, and if you want the latest in moto and supercross news, go to RaceFX Online for the most up-to-date info on all your motostars with Jason Wygant. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, boys.
Bye-bye. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. And don't forget, if you want to send us an email, you can reach us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com and our Facebook at All Action Sports Radio. I am pleased to have on our show, he is a director of From Here to There, a free-running documentary and world tour that was fully funded May 31st on Kickstarter, which is no small feat. He is also one of the biggest and, I guess, most popular parkour free-running stars in the sport, and he is also the star of Sand Sharks, the movie. He is the one and only Jesse LaFleur. Jesse, welcome to All Action Sports Radio.
Thank you, thank you. Grand introduction.
Absolutely. Now, I didn't know you were an actor. Sand Sharks? Is that anything like Sharknado?
Essentially, yes. It's very similar. It's kind of a crazy B movie. I came out here for all sorts of things, free running being my biggest thing. But, you know, this town lends itself to a little bit of acting opportunities. So I like to pretend and have fun.
Absolutely. You go for that, man. Because, you know, that Batman movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was the Mr. Ice or Free whatever.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
probably a dozen people from skateboarding, rollerblading, skiing in that movie from the action sports world. And they all played his henchmen. And I know because I helped cast all those guys. You know
what's cool is like our sport itself, because it's such a specialized thing, and the ability to sort of really control our bodies and not need any sort of apparatus has granted me opportunities to be in like over 10 national commercials and do films like Ninja Turtles and 300, things like that. So I'm super stoked to be in the right place at the right time and really be passionate about something that is sort of monetarily beneficial as well.
Well, let's talk about right place, right time. We had your buddy Corey DeMeyers on All Action Sports Radio a few weeks ago. And as I told him, I'll tell you now and our listening audience, we weren't quite sure about parkour and free running and whether we should dump it in with all the other sports considered action sports. And after reviewing the videos and watching and thinking about it, we're like, yeah, I think this is pretty much in our wheelhouse. And the response that we got from our audience was absolutely overwhelming after Corey came on the radio. And it solidified what we initially thought and what we now believe wholeheartedly, that parkour and free running is part of the action sports community. And welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know what? I would say that, honestly, I don't know if it was ready even a year ago or 2 years ago to be considered an action sport. We've gone through growing pains, just like skateboarding in the beginning, and we're finding our identity. And now free running really is turned into this beautiful action sport that has to do with creativity and execution, and the level of difficulty that things are being thrown are absolutely insane.
It absolutely is. And part of that insanity is being crowdfunded and getting your kickstarting documentary, you know, put together. You're going on this 37-city world tour, no less, to shoot, direct, and produce one of, I believe, will be many documentaries with you and Corey in regards to parkour and free running.
Yeah, absolutely. So this project, we are super excited that it got funded. We put a lot of work into spreading the word, which is really what this documentary is about. It's a look into the life of a professional free runner in a sport that hasn't yet really become a professional action sport. So within all these things, like we push this thing so hard, and we've actually, over the 26-day campaign, like I think we did like 40 million impressions across the internet on all of our
wow.
platforms, such as Instagram, Facebook, and anything else like that, Twitter. So I think even just what we're doing now is helping spread the word in the right way about something that we're really, truly passionate about.
Now, this tour kicks off in October, right, in Athens?
Yeah, directly after this year's Red Bull Art of Motion. So we taking Corey and I, the returning champ, to go back and see if we can hit that podium again and maybe even try to get that best trick award again.
You know, when I filmed skating, I would follow events, you know, like the Red Bull event you're talking about or the X Games. And then I would stay a little later with the riders and we would go out and film, or we'd get there a little early and we'd go out and film. Is that something you're doing with the documentary? You get there a little early, you take some guys out, and you guys go session, or it's all about the actual competition?
No. The competition is almost the least important thing to a lot of the guys that actually get to go. Santorini itself is like the paradise for free running. because of the structure of the roofs and the way how everything's sort of built together and the nearby volcano, like the structure, and it becomes the perfect playground. So a lot of the time, everyone that goes shoots their own videos, and we all go train together before and after the competition. So the competition itself is actually just a platform for us to show the like 5,000 spectators that show up to watch us throw down.
You listen to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. We're on the line with Jesse LaFleur. He's one of the directors behind From Here to There, a documentary on parkour and free running, which just got crowdfunded, and they're about to go. No, we're not about to, but in October, they're going to be going on their 37-city tour to record and document their journey. Jesse, it's kind of like, I'm trying to envision this because I don't free run and I don't parkour. I wish to God that I did. Do you guys go out like in a little group? Now, when I used to go session with my buddies, you know, skating, there'd be like 1, 2, 3, 4 of us, and we'd find a ledge, a rail, or just something to do lines, and we would just go at it for hours. Is that what you guys do? You go somewhere like downtown, and you find it, and you find lines, and you guys just go?
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely the same. You know, it's the same thing. You can go out alone. You know, you can push yourself by pushing yourself, and that's a completely different journey. Or you can go out with a group of friends in session. You know, we call it jams. So we have sometimes world jams, or someone will just post a link, and next thing you know, there's 30, 40 people just sessioning one random location. And we'll move around. But I actually am very passionate about finding new locations that lend itself to the sport in different ways. And I post videos like that. Like I just posted a parkour spot video on my channel, which is youtube.com/LaFleurParkour. And you can see it's just me exploring the spot, training, discovering, showing my audience that it's not all about just throwing big tricks, but having fun in the exploration of movement.
Hey, Jesse, that's a good question for me. What are we going to see inside this documentary that besides you know, tricks and jumps and spins, you know, what do you hope to achieve on a more intimate level to get people more familiar with parkour?
Yeah, I think the most important thing you're going to see is it's really a journey. This story is set on Corey and I really making the choice to be professional athletes within this sport. So leaving the USA and going to Europe to a whole bunch of different events, jams, competitions, and eventually ending up at the Red Bull Art of Motion, where we both stood on the podium together. But I think more importantly, the thing the audience is going to take away from it is really getting a sense of what it takes to try to be a pro within this sport right now. There is not many sponsors that are on board, you know. So everything we do is a struggle. But the best part about it is there's people all over the world that are so passionate about it that we show up in Germany, and guess what? We have a friend's floor to stay on, or he's going to take us to this spot, or next thing you know, they're coming with us to go to Vienna to go hang out with our other group of friends who run a group over there. So it's this like worldwide sort of community coming together about something that really does speak to everyone, because it is us and our body and how creative and strong we can be with it.
Hey Jesse, if people want to know how they can help out or see or keep track of what you're doing, where should they go?
Man, there are so many outlets. at this point, you know, we have a Facebook page that is dedicated to the documentary, which is facebook.com/FromHereToTheredoc. And then, honestly, if you just Google Corey DeMyers or Jesse LaFleur, you can find our all social medias and Instagrams and all of that stuff. Tickets are still available for the screenings, and we'll be coming probably to a city very close to you.
All right, Jesse, before we get out of here, my last 30 seconds, we did have an email question that one of our listeners wanted to give it to you, courtesy of KZNU 1450 AM out of St. George, Utah. Mark is 19 and wants to know, what is your favorite trick and how long did it take for you to learn it?
You know, I have a couple different favorite tricks. The scariest one I've ever done is called a knee gainer. It's a gainer off of a ledge from your knees. That one took me a little while to figure out. But right now, one of my new favorite things is a trick I invented called the screwball, sort of like a inside boomerang with a full twist out. And that took I've been training for 9 years, so essentially it took all that time. But now it probably took about 2 months to develop and push into being able to do it on cement all the time.
Oh, sweet. Hey, send that to us. I want to see it. Can you?
All right, cool.
All right, Jesse LaFleur, our parkour free running specialist here on All Action Sports Radio. And if you want to know more, check out our Facebook page, All Action Sports Radio. We'll be back with 2014 X Games BMX silver medalist Drew Benzinson here on All Action Sports Radio.
Don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique.
All right. Welcome back to All Action Sports Radio. I want to give a big shout out to Las Vegas, KMZQ AM 670. Thank you for being a part of our show each and every week here at All Action Sports Radio. Coming a little later in our show, we'll be talking to mountain bike free rider Brandon Siminuk, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. But before we get to that, we have on our show, All Action Sports Radio, we have somebody who I see a lot of shows. We get a lot of videos and webisodes and different things that come to us from time to time. And you check them out, you look at them, and some of them kind of get you and some of them don't get you. This one got me, and I got to tell you, folks, I am pleased to have the 2014 – God, I had to get a little confident there. The 2014 X Games silver medalist in BMX Park, Drew Benzinson, and he has a new show called Ratitudes, which I found hilarious and actually very, very cool. He's on the air with us right now. Drew, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just home in Nova Scotia getting a little bit of R&R time in, and psyched I can talk to you.
Dude, I mean, come on. You came from Austin, 160,000 strong there to see the X Games. It was a record-breaking crowd, and you put on a performance of your life. And just from all of us here, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be a part of Action Sports history now and to do it in front of the Austin crowd.
I mean, think about it. This is kind of a redemption year for you. You were battling back from injuries back in 2013. You come to one of the biggest world stages, and, you know, you had, this is what I tell athletes, when you battle back from injuries, it's not really you and the other guys, it's you against yourself. Is that how you feel?
Definitely. Like, when I go out and ride my bike, especially in contests like the X Games, I'm not competing against anybody else except myself. Like, it's me, my bike, and it's that race against that clock to get that perfect run in.
I mean, if you look at your run, you can check out Drew's run on ESPN, EXPN, or you can check him out on our Facebook page, All Action Sports Radio. You had huge transfers. You had this big old front to manual. You had flair, speed. You tried to big stall on the railing, and I think the word of the day for you was Fafunu, right?
Yes.
That was the word for you. That was the thing for you. You nailed it. You got silver. I watched you on the first run, the second one, and the third one, and you got better and better. That must have been thrilling for you as a personal best.
Definitely. Like, for me, like, especially messing up in my first two runs and then being able to make it happen on that third run,
exactly,
and after falling in my second run, like, to come back from that and still be mentally strong and to be able to put a full pole in on my last run, like, that was huge for me, just like a personal accomplishment. Like, after that, like, the score was just an added bonus, like, just to be able to come back from those first two runs.
Now, Chase won. I mean, he was in his hometown. He was the fan favorite, of course, just being in that surrounding. Did you feel any pressure on that last run just because of the nature of going against somebody like that in their hometown?
I went into it with not much pressure on myself. Like, for me, like, I've never podiumed at an X Games before, so it was like if I messed up on that last run, like there's no expectations for me to make it happen on that last run, but to go into X Games and putting in the work that I put in prior to it, like I knew that there's no way I was going to just give it up and try to let everybody else have a chance, so.
So now that you're the reigning silver medalist for the X Games, you're taking a break in Nova Scotia. Does this add fuel to the fire? I mean, X Games kind of scaled back down. You don't have Italy. You don't have France. You don't have Germany. You know, what's next for you?
Next for me, I have a week break, and then I go straight to the Dew Tour. But leading into next year's X Games, it's definitely fuel to the fire. Like, I find it's harder for me to do well at a contest for the first time rather than to come back and do well at it again, because rolling into next year, I will have already known that I did well the year before and I'm able to do it. I just need to make it happen again.
Now, going into the Dew Tour, you know, that's a big event. It's a big tour. Do you feel a little more pressure on you? Do you feel like people are like, oh, wow, he won a silver medal at the X Games. You know, here he's coming into the Dew Tour.
Yes and no. Like, last year I got the second place right behind Ryan Nyquist at Dew Tour, and it was my first podium there. So the only added pressure is just pressure on myself to do just as well as I did the year before or better.
Ryan Nyquist, man, I've talked to that guy a bunch of times, man. Isn't he something?
He's something else. Like, definitely, like, he made it happen on his last run last year at Dew Tour, and the only thing I could say was kind of damn that guy and his old man strength. Like, always making it happen, always pulling through, and that dude is one of the best athletes under pressure.
Isn't he? I've watched him for many, many years, and it's just a wonder that he's still in the game. Drew Bezenson, silver medalist in the X Games and BMX Park. Drew, we'll be back, and we're going to talk about Ratitudes, your new web series with Red Bull, when we come back to All Action Sports Radio. All right, we're back with All Action Sports Radio, and we're on the line with Drew Bezins. He's a 2014 X Games silver medalist in BMX Park. He hails from Nova Scotia. How does a kid like you get out of Nova Scotia and become a world champion?
It was definitely a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. I started doing road trips when I was 15 to the States, and it kind of took a long while to break into like the U.S. scene and to really make a name for myself, because I had to travel like a little bit here and there and meet people and try to do the contest and try to be able to afford to get to the contest. So it definitely took me a while, but no, it was something I loved to do, and it's something I really wanted to do.
Now, I know Nova Scotia is kind of a small town. They had to be behind you at the X Games cheering for you. Did you come back as a hero to the town?
Definitely for like a few of my friends I did, but I have great hometown support. Like, I couldn't thank everybody enough here in Nova Scotia for pulling for me. I read all the tweets and the Facebook messages that I got from people in my hometown, and it's cool to know that they still follow what I'm doing and are behind me.
Absolutely. Now, coming with that territory is big sponsors and big cool things that come your way. And one of them is Red Bull. You're doing a series with them, a YouTube series called Ratitudes. That's surrounded by you and your buddies.
Yes. The first of the year, Red Bull came to us, and myself, Anthony Napolitan, and Mike Cocker-Clark all live within a mile of each other in Costa Mesa, California. But we see each other more on the other side of the world or at events rather than in our own backyards. And it's just kind of a show following us around and the behind the scenes, and it's pretty funny.
You know, I got a chance to watch it, and then I said earlier in the show, we see a lot of different videos and things in our way, and I was really taken with that one. I really liked it, and there's actually a clip that I wanted us to play real quick if I can. Can you roll that for me, Jay?
This contest, Super Session, and Baltic Games, I won them all. So to come back and like 2 years later, because I missed them all last year, and to go 1-1-1, like, it was such like a mountain.
Yeah.
And now, like, just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
No better feeling.
All right. Did you hear that, Drew?
Yes.
That was beautiful to me, and what was even more beautiful that we didn't have that one set up. But if you go to our Facebook page, All Action Sports Radio, or I'm sure you go to YouTube, you can see Ratitudes. There's a section where you pretty much go down seriously hard. You hurt your elbow, and you want to go check in with your mom after you finish your run. And to me, that was really heartfelt, and that's the kind of stuff that I want to see in these videos and these web series. Not just you guys doing the tricks and the stunts, but get a little insight into you. And I saw something in you that made me want to root for you really, really hard throughout that whole video after you said that about going to check in with your mom.
Rad. Yeah, definitely this series touches base with the behind the scenes. Like, it was like that's the one of the few contests that my mom actually gets to come and watch and cheer for me. But usually she likes to hear from me after the event to know that I'm still in one piece. I know I've given her a few gray hairs, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Mom, but she knows that it's what I love to do. It's my passion, and she supports me 110%.
Well, dude, you just killed it in Estonia. I didn't know BMX was so big in Estonia. And people, you got to go watch Ratitudes. You got to watch that clip. And you doing that stall on that second story, right? You jumped on top of it, and then you dropped back in. That was phenomenal.
Yes, that's kind of what I like to do. That's the stuff I like to play with. And I get excited to ride contests when I know there's that setup just kind of waiting for me and when I have something that I really want to get done during the contest.
Dude, that was absolutely badass. And I want everybody to go check out Ratitudes. You can check it out on YouTube or our Facebook page. Drew Benson, 2014 X Games silver medalist. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. And man, nothing but the raddest luck in the world going forward.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And can't thank you enough.
All righty. Coming up, we have more here on All Action Sports Radio. And you want to stick around for it. I think they all the one. Your words travel like bullets, but this time they burn. All right, welcome back to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. And if you want to send us an email, you can do so at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. Our Instagram, All Action Sports Radio, and Twitter, All Action Sport, no S. We are in our surf segment with the one and only Ryan Simmons, who's on location right now doing his thing. Ryan, where are you?
Down at Lower Trestles for Surfing America's USA Championships.
Awesome. How are we looking?
The kids are ripping. Waves are like 2 to 4 feet, kind of mixed up south and west. And we've got girls under 16 and ISA division in the water first round. And exciting stuff down here.
Hey, Ryan, just off the top of my head, who do you see in that group that's the next, that right away you look at and go, man, that kid is going to be, that's the next rising star?
Well, you know, in the boys division, we've got Kanoa Igarashi, Jake Marshall, Griffin Colapinto, Nolan Raposa that are kind of the standout surfers on the team right now. And in the girls, we've got Tia Blanco, Frankie Hare, Malia Osterkamp, Maddie Peterson. We're looking pretty good.
Is there anyone that just kind of separates themselves from the rest of the group, you know, a la Kelly Slater, the next Kobe Bryant, the next, you know?
Well, we have a couple kids on the upper tier, like I said, those names that are ready to break through. I wouldn't say that they're on that Slater-like level, but any one of them in the next year could, you know, elevate their whole demeanor and repertoire to that level. You just never know. But right now, as far as the next Kelly Slater, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Hopefully no parents kill me.
The reason I asked that, Ryan, is because we've talked about this for a long time here at All Action Sports Radio with you, and you've always said the young guns have got to learn their way, find their way, and we talked about the splash Kolohe has made over the years, but never really getting to that height that we all thought he would get to so quickly.
Until now, right?
Till now, and that's why I was asking, because it seems like he's finally figuring it out the way you predicted a couple of years ago.
Well, let's just be really honest. You know, you can't just jump onto the scene, and even if someone at his level, he's going to have to learn the ropes. Like a lot of the PGA Tour guys that qualify from what the Nationwide Tour, they make the big tour, and they say, oh, I got to learn the courses. Well, let's look at it from that same angle. These surfers, he needs to kind of learn the ropes. The judges got to see his surfing. They knew he was the prodigy youngster talking about Kolohe, but then you're now on the big stage, you're going against Parco and Fanning and other guys that have been there, done that, the veterans, they know exactly what they need to do. And that's kind of the same here in the USA Championships. We have a lot of talent, but who are the kids that are going to put it together with a jersey on? And then they make the USA team, and then the best of those best make the traveling team. So it's kind of the same thing here going on the World Tour.
Well, let's talk about the World Tour. Coming up July 10th through 21st, we have the J-Bay Open in South Africa. And I guess on everybody's minds is Gabriel Mandina. He's just been kind of like, what's the word? I don't want to say stunning.
Invincible.
Shocking. Yeah, he looks invincible. He looks incredible. is, we know we've always predicted his time is his time is nine to Brazilians. How do you feel about his progress thus far?
Well, you're right. I mean, it is his time, and I think he kind of feels that way. He's got the two wins, and hey, didn't he win snapper a right point? So here we go into another right point. He's got to be looking like I'm the favorite, and so with that confidence and in that kid's mind with that much talent, well, I would say he's looking at a quarters or better finish. I'll go out on a limb, but with Jay Bay, Wes, you have to look at the veterans because Parco has won a handful of times. Jordy's got some wins there. I mean, and then, you know, Slater, Fanning, let's go down the list. No one, those guys aren't slouches out at Jay Bay. A high-performance wave where everyone has the same opportunity because if it's pumping, every wave is exactly the same. It's almost like a wave pool that you're saying everyone gets the same wave. Well, here we go with Jay Bay. So it's kind of cool. It comes down to the surfing.
Yeah, and speaking of surfing, Kelly Slater is kind of taking a back seat to all this. We've all talked about, you know, his next one, his next championship. Has that ship sailed?
Well, I don't know. I to say that, you would almost look to be a fool, so I'm not going to say that. But, you know, you pose the question, and it just seems as though the new guard is overpowering the old guard. Let's say it like that. So he might have to, you know, dive into the bag of tricks of Kelly Slater. He's done it 11 times, and to say he can't pull out a 12th, I won't go there, but it is becoming more difficult event after event.
You know what? You hit it on the head. Overpowering. Those were the words I was looking for.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. Even with Mick Fanning, you know, to some extent, and dare say I, it just seems like the old guard is getting overpowered by the young guns.
Well, we were wondering when it was going to happen, and I think, you know, when the old guard now was the new guard pushing out the older dudes, those guys didn't want to go. The Potts, the Barton Lynch, Tom Carroll, Tom Curran, you know, the Slaters and the Parcos and the Fannings came on tour, and Luke Egan's, and those guys didn't want to go, and they didn't go lightly, but eventually everything kind of changes, and we're in the midst of that now. Gabriel Medina's, John, you name it, all the young guns, the 20 to 23-year-olds, Julian Wilson, they're pushing out the old guard, and we're seeing it this year.
And we'll see it at J-Bay. Our man, Ryan Simmons, doing it down at Trestles. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for being a part of our show this week, and we're going to catch up with you next week, man.
Sounds great. Love to be on the show, as always.
All right. You're listening to All Action Sports Radio here at allactionsportsradio.com. And this is our song of the week, Bad Sons. We move like the ocean here on All Action Sports Radio. That's our show this week, and that's our song of the week, Bad Sons. If you like us, email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. I want to thank our guest, Jason Weingart. I want to thank Jesse LaFleur, parkour extraordinaire, Drew Bizanson. Got that one right. Drew, thank you for being a part of our show. And Ryan Simmons, I want to thank you for being our resident surf expert each week. And I want to thank you, our listening audience, for being a part of All Action Sports Radio each and every week. Our crews, Soy Sauce Media, Pam, Jay, you're doing great, man, and of course, Inspiration. You guys, go have a killer week now. I'm Wes. I'm out.
Gotta find me a big booty woman. Big booty woman is hard to find. I find my big booty woman.